Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. God is good. And all the time. Well, y'all are getting on it, aren't you? Amen. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. And this is a fantastic... I'd really never really thought about this, but there's some great 3:16 verses in the Bible. John 3:16, right? How many of you know 1 John 3:16? That's a great gospel verse. And this verse, 1 Timothy 3:16, is a great verse. And we're going to unpack that today. And I'm just so blessed to have the opportunity one more time today to share the gospel with folks. That's what this life's all about. That's what this life is all about. Amen. So if you have a Bible, I want to start there at verse 14 and move through verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And if we could, one more time, if you can bend those knees and stand up one more time. If you can't, let's honor God's Word the best way we can this morning. You know how holy and inspiring and how awesome the Word of God is? We honor God's Word, the written Word and the living Word. And it's hard to separate those two. All right. 1 Timothy 3:14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. Isn't that a great word for us? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground or foundation of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Isn't that fantastic verse of Scripture? Is it that good? All right, let's pray. Father, take your word now and use it for your glory and for our good. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The Apostle Paul, we're once again having microphone problems, so I'm using this thing here. But the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, who just happened to be the young pastor at the church in Ephesus. And, you know, and he's telling Timothy in this passage how he really needs to conduct himself amongst the family of God. And I want to tell you, we need to have an understanding of that as well. Amen? How we're supposed to conduct ourselves as the family of God. And there have been scores of books written about church planting and church starting and church building and church growth. But I want to tell you, two of the finest books you can read, or three of the, are out of Timothy and Titus. Tremendous books on how to do church and how to build a church and grow a church and be the church. And it's very interesting how Paul describes the word church there in verse 15. The word literally in English means assembly. Look at your neighbor and tell them we're assembled. And it comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And ekklesia is a compound word, ek, meaning out of or out from. And klesia comes from the root word kaleo, which means to call. In other words, we, the church, are the called out ones. of Jesus Christ. We have been called out of this world and to Christ Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Now look at your neighbor and say, have you got the call? We're the called out ones. Amen. Isn't that a great description of the church of the Lord? And as the called out ones, we are to be the pillar and foundation of truth. When I say the word pillar, what do you think of? Well, a pillar lifts high the building and supports the roof. And so as the called out ones, we are to lift high the pillar of gospel truth. And then as what does a foundation do? Well, it supports the entire building, right? And so as the foundation of truth, we are to hold firmly to that gospel truth because it has a tendency to fall or collapse under the weight of false teaching. Somebody say amen. And so those are our two ministries of proclamation of the truth and the defense of the truth. Well, just exactly what are those two ministries? What do those two ministries entail? I'm glad you asked. The person and work of Jesus Christ. I think we mentioned this last Sunday. The main thing is to keep the main thing. Say that with me. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is, yes, that's it. Now, verse 16 is the one I really want to unpack today. And it's an amazing verse. Y'all, this is an old Christian hymn that was probably sung by the early church. Verse 16. It's an amazing verse. An amazing song. It has three couplets. Now, I won't get into all that because I'm not a music major or anything, but this is an amazing, because, well, verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There, you know, in some ways, Jesus Christ is a real mystery. I mean, you remember all those mysterious appearances of the Lord in the Old Testament? And He shows up from time to time. But when you get to the New Testament, He is powerfully presented as Christ, the King, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You see, the Old Testament predicts Him and the New Testament presents Him. And so for many years, Christ was kind of a mystery. But this verse explains how God revealed Him to us. And it reminds us today of just exactly what we believe. How many of you know we need to be reminded of what we believe? And why we believe what we believe, right? That's why so many Baptists are flocking to all these other places. Because we don't know what we believe. And if we do know what we believe, we don't know why we believe what we believe. Right? Well, I've got three of you with me. Okay. I want to give you four quick truths from this great old gospel hymn. First of all, we believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. What we're talking about here is the incarnation. God incarnate. We are about to celebrate that. We call it what? Christmas. How God left heaven and came to earth as a human being. The divine one became the human one. Now, that's kind of mysterious, amen? But you see, God chose... Do you remember what John the Baptist said in the opening days of Jesus' ministry? Down by the river, he points and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world." You see, Jesus Christ is God. He's the heavenly child of an earthly mother and the earthly child of a heavenly father. He is the God-man, and there's never been anyone quite like Jesus. If you want to know what God looks like, take a look at Jesus. If you want to know what God sounds like, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God's doing, follow Jesus. He is God spilling Himself out in human flesh. Have you ever thought about that? God wanted us to know what He was like, and so He sent us His Son, Jesus, the God-man. And then the Spirit, I believe this is a reference, says justified in the capital S. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit justified, vindicated Jesus over and over again by the miracles that Jesus did. John's gospel tells us that if the writers of Scripture had mentioned every miracle that Jesus did, all the books on the planet couldn't contain all of them. And every one of those miracles pointed to the fact that Jesus was who He said He was. He is who He claims to be. That's Adrian Rogers wrote a book a few years ago called Believe in the Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. And so the Spirit of Almighty God vindicated, justified Jesus as the Christ over and over and over again. You see, we believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this Christmas celebration that we're about to enter into, that's what that's all about. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is real. He's God in human flesh. And by the way, y'all, there is a man on the throne in heaven. A glorified man on the throne in heaven. I need to quit talking about it and preach a sermon on that. That's a fabulous, amazing truth. So we believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And secondly, we believe in the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Here's the second couplet here. Seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. Seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. We're talking here about the proclamation of the gospel message. The proclamation of the gospel message goes far beyond just ministering to Israel, but to every inhabitant on the planet. Of those in heaven, y'all stay with me here. Of those on the planet, those in heaven and those on earth. To every Jew and every Gentile. How many Jewish folks we got here? Y'all need to get on the plane and go with me to Israel in May so y'all can meet a few Jewish folks. But the gospel was for the Jews and the... Somebody ought to be happy about that up in here. The gospel was for everybody. And we're to proclaim that message everywhere we go. And even the angels proclaimed the gospel message. Did you know that? You remember the women that came to the tomb on the morning of resurrection? Who was it that first announced the message of the resurrection to the women? Angels. That first Christmas night. You remember that? I know you weren't there, but you've read about it, right? Out there on those old Judean hillsides, the angelic choirs of heaven began to announce and proclaim. You remember that? Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill. That's an old quartet song, but it's a good one. And so angels all throughout the life and ministry of Jesus proclaim the message that Jesus came to give us. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I want to tell you, everything we do here at Second Mile Church should proclaim the gospel message. That's why we're here. And so we believe in the proclamation of the Lord Jesus. Angels, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. We got a lot of proclaiming to do. 86% of the people that live in Clarksville are unchurched. And if you're unchurched, there's probably a bigger issue. You see, somebody needs to get the gospel to these folks. Well, I'm just silly enough to think, you know what? That's us. We ought to be doing that. Amen? And so we believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We believe in the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I've split this third couplet up because we believe in the mission of Jesus Christ. Look again at the scripture. It says, believed on in the world. That kind of reminds me and points back to the Great Commission. The last words that Jesus ever spoke to us, go ye therefore. And do what? Make disciples of all the nations. baptizing them in the name of the Son, teaching them to observe, and lo, y'all are we reading? Oh. Boy, I'm thinking, boy, we're doing good on Scripture memory. Have mercy. Yeah, I love Ellen. y'all know what our mission statement is. We're reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. That's it. That's our mission. And it's the same mission that Jesus had when he was here. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Well, in order to have a disciple, you've got to win a disciple. You've got to reach somebody for Christ. And then once you have reached them for Christ, their proclamation is baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we teach people how to follow Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is the powder room. We're getting dressed up for glory. We're teaching people how to follow Jesus. And I hope you're learning something from time to time, because all of us need to follow Jesus. That's why we do what we do here. This is our mission, reaching and teaching people. This is why we're doing Operation Christmas Child. Hello? That's our mission. This is why we do MoCo Day. It's our mission. This is why we do Backyard Kids Clubs. It's our mission to get the gospel to people, to teach people to follow Christ. This is what the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is going to be all about. In just a few weeks, during December, we're going to take up a missions offering that's going to go to support our international missionaries. There's about 7,500 of them that are all over the world. Why? Because that's our mission, to get the gospel to people everywhere. That's why we do Crisis Hope Pregnancy Center. Did y'all see the tree when you came in? Just check that out. There's an angel. I'll mess that announcement up. We'll let Laura give that. But that's why we do what we do here. It's our mission. We're to reach people for Christ and teach people to follow Christ. And we've only got one lifetime to do that. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. Right? And so that's what we're all about. We believe in the mission of Jesus Christ, believed on in the world. But here's my favorite. We believe not only in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, the mission of Jesus, we believe in the reception of Jesus Christ. Look at this with me. Received up in where? You know, glory is a good word. If you're a child of God, it's here a glory, there a glory, everywhere there's glory, glory. I mean, there's just, I need to build a sermon on that too. Jesus spent 40 days. We call this received up in glory. The big Bible word for that is the ascension of Jesus Christ. And Jesus spent 40 days on earth after his resurrection. And he appeared and reappeared to his disciples, challenging them, motivating them, encouraging them. For 40 days he did that. And then after the 40 days he called his disciples unto him, and they met up on the Mount of Olives. And when we go to Israel in May, guess where we're going? Woo, to the Mount of Olives. And I may just rapture early up there on top of that mountain. I hope some of y'all can go with us that aren't signed up yet. It's going to be a fabulous trip. Jesus called his disciples to himself on the Mount of Olives. And he gave them their marching orders. You remember them. Y'all just quoted them. All right. And then suddenly, amazingly, supernaturally, the strongest law in the universe, the law of gravitation, was broken, suspended, relaxed, and Jesus ascended back to heaven on a cloud. How did he do that? He's God. I don't have to understand it all. What is it? I just need to believe it all. He ascended back to that world where he was once that world's chief delight. And I love Psalm 24 because David, writing 1,000 years before this event actually happened, talked about it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Can you imagine the reception Jesus must have gotten when he got back to the gates of glory? And as the king came marching in, I'll guarantee you, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels lined up on Old Glory Road. Can't you just hear them? Clapping, praising, shouting, "Oh Lord, we're so glad you're back. We sure have missed you. Jesus had just hadn't been heaven without you." How many of y'all have heard the old song, "The King is Coming"? Six of you? Wave them at me. Okay, now the rest of y'all need to get out a little bit more. Brother Bill Morris, years ago, used to sing "The King is Coming." But I want to tell you what, I've got a Gaither Vocal Band rendition that's better than Bill Morris's. "The King is Coming." Isn't that a great song? "The King is coming, the King is coming." Is that Trish? All right. I love that song, "The King is Coming." But I want to ask you that, as Jesus was going through the gates of glory, what do you think it was like when they sang it up there? "The King is coming." And he marches in through the gates and down. You know, and this theology that we have about the streets of heaven, there's only one street in heaven, Main Street. And so Jesus comes marching in, up, hallelujah. I don't know what the name of the street is, Hallelujah Boulevard, Glory Avenue, I don't know. But the reception he must have gotten was amazing. But it wasn't near as precious as the one when he gets up to the throne. And the Father stands up and says, "Son, what are these wounds in thy hands?" And the Son responds, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." And the Father must have grabbed the Son and pulled him to his bosom and then announces to a redeemed universe, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then you know what Jesus did? He sat down. He had completed the work of salvation. He acquired our salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection. And tonight, today, next week, he is maintaining our salvation through the ministry of intercession. The only way you can get me lost is to interrupt the prayers of Jesus. And how many of you in here can do that? That's what I thought. And Jesus is going to continue that ministry until one day he's going to get back up off of that throne and he's going to step down off the throne. There'll be a trumpet blast, a shout from heaven, the voice of the archangel, and Jesus will descend on the clouds. He's coming back the same way he left for his bride. And here's the deal. You had better be sure you're in that crowd. You see, if you want to go to glory, glory has to first get in you. If you want to go to heaven, heaven has to come to you. And the way you do that is by coming as humbly to God as you know how, realizing that you deserve hell and not heaven, that your sins have separated you from God. He's holy. He's righteous. He hates sin. He hates sin. You know why? Because of what it does to us. And that's why he sent his son. That's how much he loves you. And my Bible tells me, if you'd be willing to turn from your sin, that's what the word repent means, to turn from your sin and turn to Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Receive him. A free gift. Didn't come cheaply, by the way. If you'll receive him today, he will save you and set you free. And one day he'll come and pick you up and take you where he is. Whew. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus also. We believe in the ascension. And we believe in his soon coming return. Let's pray. Father, we come humbly as we know how this morning, recognizing that all of our needs are wrapped up in you. Our greatest need is forgiveness. And you have provided forgiveness in the person of the Lord Jesus. And God, I don't know how many people are here. So I believe there's some folks here. They're working hard. They're trying to earn their salvation. And they're frustrated. They're miserable. They're defeated. Maybe what they just need to do today is just thank God for the gift of salvation and receive it by faith and allow Christ to work in and through them. And I believe there's some people here that need to be saved for the first and only time that someone needs to come to faith in Christ. Right where you're sitting, if you'll just pray a simple, childlike prayer, ask God to forgive you of your sin and trust him with your life. Just believe in him. He'll come into your heart and make you a brand new person. He'll do that right now. I want to ask you to just pray right where you sit and do that. And then in just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of response. And we want you to come forward. I've got some stuff I need to give you and put in your hands. To talk to you about your baptism and your new life that you have just found in Jesus. But it's your step you've got to take. Just say, Pastor, I've prayed to receive Christ today. I'm a new person. I'm a new believer. Help me to get started right, and we will do just exactly that. Father, there are folks here that need prayer. There are people here that need Jesus. There are folks here that need to be encouraged and challenged. God, this time of prayer, this time of response, this time of invitation is yours and yours alone. Give us what we need now to be faithful and to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.